This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Some European action to help Greece.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. It's the Morning Open. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Commercial real estate could be the next financial nightmare. And some White House economic soothsaying. That's later. First, where's Wall Street? The S&P down about 0.5%. Same for the NASDAQ right now. The Dow is off 50 points at 99.88 and some change. In Asia, stocks closed up. European shares are mixed right now, although earlier today they were much higher. London's FTSE is ahead by about 0.2%. Shares in Paris and Frankfurt have now swung lower. The markets have been anxiously awaiting word on a plan for Greece, which is battling very high sovereign debt. Today, finance ministers from Eurozone countries have come up with a financial rescue plan to stop problems in Greece from spreading. Diane Swonk is chief economist for Mesirow Financial. She's with us live this morning from Chicago. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
The markets, as I mentioned, are trying to sort of piece this together. What's going to happen with the Greek debt problem? I mean, why is this such an important thing for the markets to look at?
Well, essentially, this represents the aftershock to the incredible earthquake we felt with financial markets in the fall of 2008. As countries scrambled to try to stimulate their economies, they also put themselves in jeopardy. And Greece has a lot of exposure on European bank balance sheets. And so if Greece were to go down, the collateral damage would be fairly significant throughout Europe and the exposure to the U.S. as well. So this is yet another sort of reminder that the financial system that did have that earth-shattering earthquake still has aftershocks that we're dealing with today.
And you mentioned, I mean, trying to sort of put the economy back together after 2008. I mean, what choices do governments have if they're trying to stimulate the economy, but at the same time they're sinking deeper into debt?
Well, this is where we are right now. It really is the catch-22 situation where you don't want to go too much further into debt. You've got to allow some of the healing to occur on its own, yet the healing's not occurring fast enough for many governments, and the cost of recessions are mounting on their federal budget deficits as well. Unemployment insurance is a major cost in the U.S. economy today. So it really is a very tough time where there's no easy answers or easy choices. At this stage of the game, though, the bulk of the world has decided it's about time to just start letting the economies heal, even though that process is going to be very slow and arduous.
And this just isn't limited to Greece and just a handful of other countries. I mean, this is pretty much around the world, right?
This is a worldwide phenomenon. In fact, the deficit problems in the U.S., as bad as they are clearly worse elsewhere. And as much as we bemoan our own problems, the U.S. dollar is still reserve currency because of the fact that Europe needs to be able to demonstrate it can behave together and not isolate some countries like Greece. And so this is a real test for Europe as well.
Diane Swonk, we do thank you.
Thank you.
There are new concerns in a report released today that commercial real estate loans could create some real problems for small and mid-sized banks. The congressional panel overseeing the Troubled Asset Relief Program, TARP, says those banks face up to $300 billion in losses. That's because property values have fallen by nearly half in the past 3 years. Harvard University law professor Elizabeth Warren is chair of the congressional oversight panel. She's with us this morning. Welcome, Professor.
Glad to be here.
Why are you so concerned about mid-size and smaller banks?
Well, when the large financial institutions moved heavily into credit cards and home mortgages, the part of the market that was left for community banks was really commercial real estate and small business lending. And that means now that the commercial real estate market is in real trouble, that hits disproportionately in these smaller financial institutions. $1.4 trillion in commercial real estate loans are going to come up for new financing 2011 to 2014. In other words, we're just on the front end of that wave of foreclosures.
But there are some businesses that are doing okay. I mean, can't the good sustain us through another bad period?
Well, there's a real problem, though. Commercial mortgages are different from residential mortgages. You make payments for somewhere in the neighborhood of 3 to 10 years, depending on how the loan's set up.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't cover the principal. So it's whether or not the mortgage on that property can be refinanced.
Does that mean more bank bailouts?
I don't want to see any more bank bailouts, but we're really caught on this one. There are more losses coming, and they are really, really substantial. And we have an already fragile banking system. We need to start swinging into action now to deal with the problem that's headed our way.
Harvard Law Professor Elizabeth Warren, Chair of the Congressional Oversight Panel. Professor, thanks.
Thank you.
Listening to the Marketplace Morning Report for Thursday, February 11th, 2010 at marketplace.org. Back-to-back snowstorms have made for a miserable time of it for residents along the eastern seaboard. In the nation's capital, the federal government's shut down for a fourth day. Businesses and schools are closed as well. But Marketplace's John Dimsdale found the snow has produced activity of another sort.
Cab rides to the airport have been running as high as $150, and neighborhood websites are full of people desperately seeking snow shovels. At the True Value Hardware Store downtown, salesman Drew Sutter says his shovel inventory is but a fleeting memory.
As soon as we unloaded it, our delivery of shovels from yesterday was sold in about an hour. Today we had snow shovels for about an hour and 15 minutes.
Several eager truck owners are getting into the snow plowing business. In the Virginia suburbs, Kiko Susufan is a welder advertising plowing on local websites.
A lot of people call. A lot of people want a snow plow.
Susufan says there's so much snow on long driveways that he gets stuck a lot, so he charges $400 to $500 per job.
They say, whoa, too much, you know.
So he's only had a couple takers, although I might be one of them if I can't dig myself out today. In snowy Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Believe it or not, it's been 10 years since the reality show Survivor first hit our TV screens. And tonight, CBS celebrates by kicking off its 20th edition of the show. The original Survivor was an unexpected success for CBS, and as Ashley Milne-Tite reports, it brought a whole new business model to television.
28 million viewers tuned in to watch the first season of Survivor. That show included this famous speech from contestant Sue, a truck driver from the Midwest.
Rich, you are a very openly arrogant, pompous human being, but I admire your frankness with it.
Real people competing, confessing, and backbiting on screen. At the time, it was all new. Ron Simon is curator for TV and radio at the Paley Center for Media.
They are bringing emotions and thoughts and feelings that most people used to keep private. You know, it is compelling.
Survivor was followed by shows like American Idol, The Apprentice, and The Biggest Loser. Sam Craig teaches marketing at NYU's Stern School of Business. He says networks were delighted to find reality shows were as popular as dramas.
But the cost of that programming was approximately half of a primetime drama. So the ad revenue stayed the same and in some cases grew. The cost diminished greatly, and so it was profitable.
Now TV schedules are crammed with reality shows. But Ron Simon says that's been good in some ways for comedies and dramas.
Say The Sopranos or The Wire or Rescue Me, they are something that we haven't seen before in drama. And I think reality, in many ways, have pushed producers to come up with new concepts in fictional programming.
Much of the best new drama is on cable. Sam Craig from the Stern School of Business says the networks, which rely mainly on ad revenue, can't afford to take as many risks.
All of the TV networks are part of major media conglomerates, and they've got someone looking over their shoulder and putting a lot of pressure on for quarterly results.
He says as long as reality shows keep making money, producers will keep dreaming up new concepts to tempt contestants and viewers. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
You know the restaurant chain Hooters, the one known for wings? Well, it's looking for a buyer. According to the New York Post, tough economic times have hit the chicken and scantily clad waitress market. Here's Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson.
The entire casual restaurant industry is experiencing disappointing sales, down 5 to 10% this year. But Ron Paul, an industry analyst with Technomic, says Hooters is a little different than its strictly food-focused rivals.
We would speculate that they're much more sensitive to corporate travel, as an example, than some of the other chains, people like Fridays and Chili's and Ruby Tuesday and Applebee's and so forth.
That's because Hooters are often found near convention centers, so sales have dropped as convention business has slowed. Paul says Hooters is more of a destination restaurant, so the slump in travel and tourism has hurt too. And the chain's attempt to launch an airline, he says, didn't help the bottom line at all. Amazingly, he managed to make all of these clever points without using any inappropriate Hooters-themed puns.
I tried to make it for public radio consumption.
As did I. I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
The White House released its annual economic report this morning. It doesn't make for uplifting reading. The report predicts credit will remain tight and unemployment will stay high. From Washington, Brett Neely reports.
The White House report predicts the economy will grow 2.5% this year, in line with what outside economists predict. In a normal year, that figure would be considered anemic. But White House economic advisor Christina Romer said on CNBC this morning that the forecast needs to be kept in context with where the economy was in early 2009.
Judged against where we were headed, the fact of where we are now, of course it's not good enough, but I think it is a stunning tribute to just how powerful the actions of the Fed have been and the actions in the Recovery Act and the other things the administration has done.
One piece of good news in the report is that the economy will soon start adding about 95,000 jobs a month. Problem is, many economists believe you would need to add three times that rate to bring unemployment down from the current 9.7%. In Washington, I'm Brett Neely for Marketplace.
Finally, to anyone who knows the whereabouts of a bronze bust of Colonel Sanders stolen from a KFC, come forward and eat well. Instead of a cash reward, the KFC store in Berea, Kentucky is offering $500 in free chicken. Says a spokesman, "We think KFC's world-famous chicken is a better motivator than money." I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. Check us out online at marketplace.org. Share your thoughts and grab the podcast while you're there. In Los Angeles, have a great day. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media. The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.